Well, it's great to see you all today. I love to see your faces if you happen to be off camera and could be on camera. It's always helpful when you're in that presenter mode, making sure that things are resonating. I'm always really curious what resonates and what doesn't. I thought for today's conversation and coaching that we would start with a story. I would start with a story about just the way that our mind moves and the amount of space it takes up when we're in a spin out. So, in our last mindset training, self-talk for success, we talked about, the ways that we can get into an overdrive, into a spin out, and the ways that some key stories keep coming up for us. And I work on mindset all the time. I have a coach that I meet with every other week and one that I meet with every month. I've got a spiritual director. I've got lots of support in my life where I'm really holding myself accountable to the words that I speak to myself. And I'm still human, right? So, about January, mid-January last year, of this year, excuse me, we had some friends over to go sledding on our back porch, or excuse me, not our back porch, our backyard. I'm a little nervous all of a sudden. I don't know why, but here we are. I think it's because I'm getting ready to be vulnerable. So there you go. The little shakes are coming out. But so we're having some friends over. We're doing a sledding and super fun. It's a new house. We've been in it since July of last year, now officially a year. We hadn't had people over to sled. Cool hill. My husband hung up lights. The scene was set. It was delightful. Everybody wrapped up, went home, and I look up at the tree, and there is this limb that's hanging down, like right where the kids were sledding. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is a huge liability. That limb is going to kill someone. And I did a couple of things, like this is over a course of months. So this is back in January. And over the next course of months, I tried to get that limb down. One, by just willing it down, by staring at it every single day. One, by getting balls that my boys have, like basketballs, soccer balls. I kicked balls at it. I threw balls at it. I hit it square on. Like I have a pretty good arm, but that thing would not budge. It was like wedged in just perfectly. Now, I fully recognize I could have called a service out, but I didn't. So that branch hung in our tree right in that spot over the hill. And it just fell down. 2 weeks ago. And I realized how much anxiety and how much time I had sunk into the thought of that limb is going to kill someone. That's going to hurt someone. It's going to be my husband, or it's going to be my kids, or it's going to be neighbors, or it's going to be friends. It's going to be me. And ultimately, nothing happened. So I spent 6 months. And if you've heard me talk about my hot tub, I am in my hot tub every single day with a view right at that limb. So I just looked at it. Ultimately, for it not to hurt anybody and for things to carry on. And so I realized how much anxiety I was attaching to that limb over time. And when it was down, I realized, oh, that was time, space, capacity. I could have been thinking about the things that I wanted. I could have been relating to myself or to others differently. Like I had a whole story, like, why doesn't my husband, blah, blah, blah. Why can't I, blah, blah, blah. And so the day that it fell down, I went out into the yard and I'm like starting to. I first asked if my boys wanted to make a fire out of it. They said no. So I was like, okay, I should do this. I've been spending enough time with this branch. I'm going to make a fire out of it. So as I start to break it down, this thought came to mind. And this has been one mindset shift that's been really important for me. And that is all things are being made new. Everything that happens can be redeemed. And so as I'm starting to pick up all these pieces from this limb and to make my fire, I was thinking about the ways that I can redeem the anxiety, the buildup, all the meaning that I was putting on to this, which I won't go into too much detail, but essentially, like I had not only attached just the ability of that limb to fall, but some other anxiety that was happening in my inner circle and feeling like I'm really out of control without action I can take. And the action that I'm taking even if it, if I think it's hitting it right on, isn't moving anything. And so I'm in this like holding pattern. So if I can redeem that and experience life a little bit differently, then I get to feel the warmth of the fire. I get to experience joy in the roasting of marshmallows over this thing. And so for each of us, we get into these relational dynamics with our team members, maybe with our inside of our families, and they make us feel really stuck, like we're in this holding pattern. But my reminder to you is that holding patterns do end up turning. They break, they change, they shift. And how can you redeem that time? What learnings can you pull from that as to be in better relationship to yourself? I could be beating up myself thinking like, that was 6 months wasted. How much brain space could that have been used for something more positive? How much further could I have been in my business or with whatever because of that? And I have had those thoughts. It was like instant when it fell, but I'm not holding myself in like a prison for it. I'm capturing the learnings and moving forward. And what happens often with our mindset is like, I kind of view them as these open rooms or open circles where the energy of something that didn't go right, that felt really bad, seeps into our everyday. And until we close it out, capture the learnings from it, and remove the emotion, we can't have the mental clarity today to really carve out what it is that we want for the future. And each of you are here and limitless because you're pretty driven. You like for things to be in motion. You want to see more growth for life. And so my invitation for you is to consider the places where you feel really stuck right now. A relational dynamic on your team, perhaps with yourself and your lack of willpower. Maybe it's your relationship to the success shifter. I certainly have come through that. And bring that as a coaching request. All things are being made new. Everything can be redeemed. So with that frame up, my invitation to you is to, in the chat, do the normal check-in where you say where you're at. Are you a one? Doing really well? Finding a lot of momentum? Getting your projects moved forward the way that you want to? Two, feeling like, there's a little bit of bumps, but I'm moving forward. Or three, I'm completely stuck. And then maybe a little bit of information about what's going on for you, about where it is that you feel stuck. I'm also curious, just in the always loving to hear feedback, what landed for you in the story that I shared that supports you in what you're up to about the branch. All right, getting a couple answers back. Some ones. Sam feeling a three. Giving outside influences too much power of my time and energy. Getting some good traction, but want to be more systematic. That's Bridget. Jeremy, making progress, just wish it were faster. A bit overwhelmed, but making slow progress. Perhaps Ian and Jeremy, we can put you in a group together. And Terry, with the same similar type thing. I could have been further along with my business. Like, things are just not where I want them to be. Cool. So why don't we start out with Sam? And we'll coach one-to-one if you're open to that, since you referenced feeling stuck.
Yeah, we can talk about it, Liz. I'm set to become chair of a board of trustees for a local university, a small liberal arts university, and that's very overwhelming, and there's a lot going on there. My fiance and I, her daughter and son-in-law and four children have been living with us for the last 3 weeks and are going to for another couple weeks. And there's a lot of stress around that. Yeah. So just things like that. But, Stephanie and I had a talk about a month ago, and she just said, there are certain periods of life where you just have to give yourself some grace and prioritize and get through them. And I feel like I'm in one of those right now, but I do feel like I'm not making the headway with growth here at the firm like I want to.
What do you think is the key piece of feeling stuck?
Allowing myself grace and just letting things flow and not holding bitterness to myself and other people for all of the quote-unquote intrusions on my time and energy.
And what feels stronger on the bitterness and intrusions, more towards yourself or more towards others?
Oh, I do a wonderful thing where I feel it against others and then I judge the hell out of myself and then hold it against myself. Why should other people have that power over you? What a failure.
And if you could choose an outcome for this conversation today, what do you want to do with that?
I just need to, I meditate. I'm a big believer in stoicism. I've mentioned both those things in the past, and I think they've had a great influence on me over the last couple of years to relax and be more chill and let more things just flow off my back. And I just need to keep reminding myself of that, you know, other people have their own things and I don't need to allow their needs or negative energy to influence me. So just need to keep reminding myself.
Do you have awareness? So in saying that, what I hear is like, maybe not get coached today, which is totally on the table.
Yeah. I feel like I'm pretty aware of what's going on.
Do you know the initial trigger that starts you into this pattern?
I'm not sure I do. I have been pretty deprived of sleep the last couple of weeks. So I know that's part of it. And I tend to be pretty aware of when I'm tired and try to hide from the world in those situations, right? You don't make big decisions or things like that when you're tired. And then, yeah, there are just certain people who trigger me and I need to look at them with more love and compassion and less judgment.
So what I'm hearing is, I know that you're adept at the meditation and the stoicism, and you've had such tremendous success in that transformation. What do you think it is about, maybe pick the one person that triggers you the most? And you don't have to say who they are.
Yeah.
What is it about them that triggers you the most?
They are the most manipulative, ungrateful, selfish person I've ever known in my life.
Okay. How do you know that?
That's my judgment.
Sure. But how do you know it? Your judgment is allowed to be here in this moment.
Yeah. I'm not sure what you mean by how do I know it. Like I get, right, we do comparisons and I say, boy, out of all the thousands of people I've ever met, I've never known an individual quite like this.
What's the facts?
Yeah, again, I'm not sure how to answer that. Just the facts are, I allow this person to trigger me.
What is it about there? So I'm digging in. You've made a clear judgment of them.
Yeah.
And again, it's allowed to be on the table right now.
Yeah.
Anytime we have a judgment, it's based on some facts we've seen and some assertions. So what has happened that's made you state that? And yeah, let's stop there.
Okay. So I guess just observing, I'm trying to be respectful at the same time.
Sure.
Just observing this person sit back and control other people, including my fiance, including me. Just a lack of gratitude, a me mentality. And again, I judge myself because I allow it to keep happening.
Sure.
And then get mad at myself for allowing it.
Do you see, or maybe what I see, I guess I can say, is there's a way that you have the thing happening for them, and there's a quick jump, like you said it a couple of times, a quick jump to be like, but I'm still letting it happen. So mm-hmm. it's kind of still on me.
Mm-hmm.
For this moment, can you set that part down in an act of grace and look just directly at that?
Okay.
So
and do what? Okay.
You've got the observing, the person is sitting back and controlling other people. What are the actual facts of that? Those are still assertions. Unless you're literally saying this person is sitting back in their chair.
No, I'm saying they are literally doing that. That's what I'm
and those controlling
are, those are facts. Yeah.
But the controlling piece, unless you guys are robots, they can't literally control you. So what's okay, really so, happening? So
here's the full story, and this is a tough one to say out loud, but so I got divorced a few years ago. It was a horrible thing to go through. I don't recommend it. But the thing that was difficult in my marriage for a long time was I was married to a wonderful human being who took pleasure in putting me down constantly mm-hmm. and making me feel small. And this person I'm watching is my ex-wife to the 100th degree. So mm-hmm. it's very hard for me to sit and watch her mistreating other people, putting them down, but also literally sitting back and being catered to.
Mm-hmm. The image I got there when I spoke earlier about the rooms, like a room that we're in or a circle that's unclosed that kind of seeps into today mm-hmm. and messes with it. Just notice that you, when I was asking you about this person and the facts for them, you brought in your ex-wife and then the comparison there.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm hearing just by point of mirroring is this way of whatever relationship was there, the way that you interacted with the ex-wife is amplifying with said person.
Completely.
Okay. So in an act of grace, what's still left unclosed out here with the ex-wife? And that is a question that I don't know that we can fully piece apart here.
Right.
So you have ways of if that situation of the past could bring about positive learnings that help you with the present, what are those learnings?
Yeah, I'm not sure of this. What my mind just keeps going back to, and this is where you asked me to set it aside, is I do believe that I have the most success in whatever I'm touching when I don't allow the outside world to affect what I'm trying to get done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to bring this back to limitless into my
practice. Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And that's where I feel, okay, what lessons from the past, et cetera, can I pull so that I am not allowing outside things to take mm-hmm. over and keep me from focusing on what I'm trying to create.
Mm-hmm. So if this is something, and I love that you connected it back to the topic of the hour, like we're in limitless, yes. What were the learnings before that you captured that allowed you to set aside the outside world and to make the momentum that you had?
Candidly, for me, it's been as simple as set aside the outside world. just shut it all down and focus. And right now I can't. I'm just in a period of time, like I said, right now, where
I have
obligations to all these other things, including having this person living in my house for a month. It's keeping me from being able to focus the way I normally would.
So a practice you can take away from this is seek learnings then. Like there's a way that there's something that's still unresolved that this person is allowing you to clear the air on, not only in that relationship, but the previous relationship. And when you are clear and looking for the learnings, like little gems amongst a lot of dirt, maybe a lot of rocks, things that don't feel good, it will shift the air for you and shift you out of the holding pattern, whether or not they're still in your home.
I will dig.
So recognizing that we left it a little untidy, what's your takeaway from our conversation?
Yeah, I'm not sure, Liz. Like you said, there's mud and other things to dig through, and I've got to figure out a way to do that, and I'm not sure how right now. So I'm not sure exactly.
Okay. There is that thank you letter that Stephanie has posed in the past. You could take that as a practice here. And that's going to pull up for those of you who haven't done it. It's a year-end activity, but you can do it at any time when you're wanting to close out something, some energetic thing. And you're listing all the things that are difficult, all of the things as they come out, or all the things that are not difficult, that are helpful even. And then you respond with the, like what it's taught you. So
would you be
open? Would you be open to doing that and being, and either reporting back on track or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Cool. Thanks, Liz.
Absolutely. All right. I see a couple of answers about the branch story. I am curious for anyone who would like to share what stuck out for you or is helping you with something that you feel stuck in. Zero things stuck out.
I'll go. Thank you both, Liz and Sam, for all you've shared so far. That was great. So as I was listening to you, I was like, well, you call an arborist. And, you know, you got there. But I know I do the same thing myself. Like I'll see the little thing that needs my attention. And I'm like, okay, you're not high enough on the priority list. But just, oh my gosh, the fact that it takes room in my brain is just so annoying. But I watched my mom, oh my gosh, she was such an anxious person. And while I, you know, deal with anxiety some myself, not nearly to the degree she did, and that poured over into me and my sisters. And I've heard it said that anxiety is contagious. So for myself, I'm super cognizant of that. Like I don't want whatever my anxieties or worries are to spill over into anyone around me. You know, my family, my clients, my colleagues. So that's something that I work on, is, you know, being cognizant of the impact of my anxiety on others, but also just constantly trying to not let stuff live in my head rent free. But it's you know, a daily practice.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and as advisors, you know, the you've got anxiety, and then you've got the positive aspect of anxiety, which is like forethought and planning, which, oh, by the way, is our job. And so this thing that I'm just going to assert is probably something that a lot of advisors deal with, is the idea of future tripping everything that could happen. And again, we have taken a lot of learnings from that over time, and we can project lots of things for clients and help them troubleshoot things that they've never even anticipated or thought could be possible. And so that's the gift in all of it, right? And when we sit with our anxiety and we allow it to fester and we allow it to be the one controlling our decisions, our thoughts, our time, the way we interact with our family members or our friends, that's where we hold ourselves out of, really like out of our power. Yes, Inside Out 2, Christy. Has anybody seen Inside Out 2? It just came out. It's so good. So good. And it deals specifically with anxiety. So great follow-up, fun homework if you want to look at all of this from a different perspective. Cool. Thanks for sharing, Bridget. All right. I would like to have those three people I referenced. I know one was Terry and one was Jeremy and one was, who was my third person? Ian? Yeah. Awesome. If we can have all three of you like put together, spotlit, whatever, whoever's managing the Zoom room, that would be great. We'll just give it a moment here.
Okay, I think it was Terry, Ian, and Jeremy, right?
Yes.
Okay. And I pinned them all. Are they showing up for you, Liz?
Not for me. Let's see.
Let me click Spotlight instead. Now he's big on my screen.
Yep, Terry.
You went away. I'm gonna put back. Did everybody see all four of them a minute ago on the screen?
No.
No? Okay. Interesting.
If you spotlight Terry, I'll spotlight Ian.
Okay.
I know we've done it before where we can have multiple people. Yeah. All right. Oh, I've got it. All right. Where is Jeremy? Add spotlight. And where am I? I'll add myself to
Purple Box.
Okay. Look at me go. All right. Here we are. So each of you have this way of relating to time and where you're at today versus where you want to be. And so if you could, in a minute or less, say what feels most stuck about that, starting with Ian.
Sure. So my goal for this year is to become, as a business owner, sort of more systematic and more sort of professionalized my firm, rather than just sort of me kind of going around putting out fires all day every day to set up systems so that the fires put themselves out most of the time, and then I can step back and focus on the big picture. I've made a certain amount of progress. We've gone from being totally solo to hiring some virtual assistants, and that's helped some. But then I hand things off to the virtual folks, and then they, you know, come back to me a week later with a rough draft of what I asked them to do, and then I don't have time to look at it for 2 weeks. And I'm setting up all these processes that, like, every day and every week I'm going to go through this checklist to make sure stuff gets done. you know, and then I add up all the time that it would take to do all my checklists, and it's more than I have working hours in the week. And so I feel like I'm moving forward a little bit, but there's still a lot of stuff that's getting hung up and log jammed. And it's, I'm sort of still the bottleneck in a lot of things that could be working a lot more efficiently.
Okay. Okay. Jeremy, how about you?
Some similar things to what Ian just shared. Since launching the RIA, just been focusing on getting everything system-wide set up. Like, I've made progress on getting workflows done, starting to dig into the, some of the compliance stuff that's behind. Echoing the same thing with the VA, it's kind of, it's weird. There's like a lot of planning involved just to get something done. And it's like, you just want it done. Just like, do it. You know, I don't need a spreadsheet that organ, just do it. Right. So there's stuff like that. But I think since launching the RIA, I haven't had consistent meetings with clients because I'm trying to focus on these things. And also echoing what Sam shared earlier, as kind of outside, meaning like personal things, family issues, you know, come about and affect my mental state in a very negative way, then just engaging in a lot of procrastination. So like, I'll have a full day available. I'll do the morning work things that I need to do, but then I find that I'm just procrastinating, and I can't get to the important stuff I really need to work on. And like, I'll finally start that at like 3:30 in the afternoon. Like, the day is pretty much blown, and it's like, oh, I've got to get something done. So there's just, I'm not getting enough done because I'm procrastinating, and it's all kind of tied to the mental state and whatnot. And it's like this really negative loop that it's really hard to kind of get off of that wheel, so to speak.
Great awareness on that. What do you think that negative mental loop is? Negative mental loop.
It's like, I don't feel well mentally, so I don't have the energy or the motivation to do the stuff that I do. So, you know, engaging in, you know, activities that are just, they're procrastination, so that I don't have to deal with the thing that feels tough to do. But then the result is I feel worse for not getting the stuff done that I know I'm supposed to do. It just like negatively feeds that.
Okay. So there's a way that you were saying, like, what the thing is, system, set of processes, VA, planning, hoping that they just do it. Don't really have time to like circle back and give all of the information. But underneath that, you said what you think is really going on is this feeling of procrastination.
Yeah.
I'm going to shift to Terry, but as I do that, ask yourself, what are the stories there? And, if you have your mindset worksheets that you've worked on with Limitless, perhaps even pull those out and see if you can find some of those key theme stories coming forth. All right, Terry, what's up?
All right. I was afraid you were going to call me. So I always end up comparing myself to other people that I think are around my same age and always seem to be more successful. And so the story I've been telling myself, or I've been using it as my excuse, because I think I know what I should do, I just don't always do it. Last year, my wife passed away. And for the 10 years prior to that, I was pretty much her caregiver, her full-time caretaker. And I was using my solo practice as a way to just to get by, but it allowed me the time to do whatever I had to do for her. And So I wasn't really putting a lot of effort or time into my business, taking care of my existing clients, but that didn't necessarily take a lot of time. So it allowed me the freedom to do what I needed to do. I didn't have a manager saying, hey, you got to be in the office at 8. You can't leave till 5 or whatever it may be. So it allowed me to do that. So yesterday was actually, it was a year and a half since she passed away. And I've been grieving on and off for the last year and a half, but I feel like I'm beyond where I should just be sitting around doing nothing. am I just using this as an excuse now to not do what I know I should be doing? Or is it impacting me more than maybe I realize? Or because I really wasn't working in the business that much prior to that, am I just like still drifting and can't escape that? Or am I just using all of this as an excuse? Because I know people who had much tougher situations and still accomplish more even when they were caretaking for somebody. And why wasn't I more successful even when I was taking care of her? So, So I feel a little bit better now that I just said that to you, but
yeah, I got a real bit of anger in that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, because I think all the things that I could use, all the tools I can use and all the things on the Limitless website or industry-wide that I know what to do. It's not like I don't know what I should be doing. I'm just not always picking it up and doing it. And am I just making excuses? So I don't know if any of that made sense, but I feel better.
I'm glad to hear that. Notice, just as Stephanie mentions about how emotions take about 90 seconds to process and move through, like I really got a hit of your anger there for a second.
Really? Okay.
And I'm curious.
I don't necessarily feel angry, but maybe I just don't realize that I'm.
Well, angry. And maybe it's irritation. Maybe like anger is too strong of a word. I don't know how you relate to the word angry, or anger. Irritated, frustrated. Those are all sub emotions of anger. What resonates most with those words?
Yeah, probably irritation. And maybe I'm angry at myself too for not having done more with my business now that I actually have all the time in the world to do it. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Mm-hmm. And am I just stuck in sort of habits that I had before that I need to break through? So
what do you think is missing in the equation for you?
Maybe just some discipline, following a certain schedule, knowing what I should do, actually sticking that on my calendar and holding myself to executing. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, the systems or the processes or just the scheduling, the time management, I'm just doing whatever I want to do when I want to do it pretty much. Except, so now that I have all the free time in the world, it's like, well, I can get by, but I know I'm not performing to the best of my ability or to the talent level that I think God blessed me with. I'm not doing that. And so that's kind of irritating me now too. So. This has like been a really irritating conversation.
Well, thank you for blessing me with it. So my invitation here is there's probably more here that's irritation for you.
Yeah.
And notice the relief that comes just as you air it.
I like keeping things in. I like, oh, I can handle this. I don't like telling anybody anything usually. Mm-hmm. So, but I have learned like the whole grieving. And the mourning part is when you kind of let it out and tell people, that's an important part of the whole losing somebody process too. So, mm-hmm. So I think this is just doing this little thing here mm-hmm. has helped me. So, yeah. So I probably need to like be more open too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that will really support the piece there. And I'm curious, as Terry shared some of his situation, Ian and Jeremy, what new information about yourself did you get in listening?
I guess I would say he's seems pretty good about taking responsibility for it and reflecting on my own comments. And it was all like, these are things that are happening to me that are frustrating. And maybe my mindset should be more given that I am 100% accountable for how I react to stuff, how should I be reacting versus how am I reacting to the circumstances of, you know, not having unlimited time.
Yeah, there's this idea, and I see your comment, Christy. I'm going to save that till a little bit later. There's this concept within coaching where we are at cause or at effect. We are responsible or kind of a victim place. And often when we are in a mindset funk, there's some elements of victimhood that we feel by it. This person is doing this thing. That person might be me. And so notice for the responsible person, each of you are very responsible, that you can hold yourself in contempt for, like, how dare you not overcome this and be so at cause, responsible in this one. You've seen yourself caretake. You've seen yourself overcome lots of things. You've seen yourself goal achieve. And yet there's almost a way of still feeling victimhood to yourself.
Yeah. And it's not even like this person is doing something to me. It's like this universe only has 24 hours in a day. And and I'm mad about that.
Okay.
Just, you know, ridiculous, obviously, but I think should probably be coming at it from a different direction if I'm, you know, kind of mad at the world for only having the amount of time that it has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and time is just a human construct, right? Based on the way that the sun moves, it's not real. All right, Jeremy, what are you getting from the conversation? And I'm going to pick up my earbud that fell.
You know, certainly talking about these things out loud, I think does help in a lot of ways, partially because not that I'm unaware of what's going on, certainly I am, but the verbalizing of it helps bring that awareness. And it's really difficult to try to correct any unwanted behavior, you know, whether it be procrastination or anger, whatever. It's really difficult to fix that if you're not aware of it. So just the action of verbalizing, becoming more aware can help, you know, try to find solutions to work on it. But actually what you just said a minute ago about like a victim mentality, I definitely think for me, that's something that happens, right? There's these things that are happening around me, you know, family things or whatever. And then I feel like I'm somehow being victimized by that. And it's that attitude that puts me into that kind of negative spiral where I now feel bad. I don't have energy. I don't want to get the work done that I need to get done. And it's that whole negative cycle. It's like what puts me into that, you know, I'm thinking of like the hamster wheel of negativity, right? Like that's what pushes me onto that wheel. And mm-hmm. then it's, you know, trying to find something that can hook me off of that wheel. Mm-hmm. Right. So that comment about victim mentality really kind of hit home for me.
What is your approach to get off the wheel? Like, what are a couple of tools that you know of for yourself?
I have many, but I can't think of any at the moment. They are eluding me for some reason. But the only thing I can think of, like when I'm exercising, you know, I'm kind of in that moment, usually listening to some helpful podcasts and things, just being in the present, not thinking about those things. And that's something the last couple of weeks, like I put my back out, that started, and then my son got the flu. So he was sick and we also kind of got a little sick too. So, you know, I had a couple of weeks not exercising. That's a huge thing that affects my mental state. So getting back into that, you know, maybe it takes a little time, but once I start getting like my miles back up and whatnot, sometimes can be a thing that will kind of hook me off that negative cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And
you know, a funny movie or something, you know, and it snaps you out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another plug for Inside Out 2.
Yeah.
Even though it's a cartoon, even though it seems kind of weird to have a movie about emotions. It's actually much more about the way that the brain processes things, and it's done delightfully and quite funny. Sleep. And remember, yeah. What'd you say?
Sleep, getting enough sleep for me.
Yeah, sleep for you. And where are you at right now with that?
Doing pretty well. I mean, this weekend was a lot of social activities that cut into that a little bit, but I would say in general, I've been prioritizing it and it's been very helpful.
Yeah. Awesome. And remember, your breath is a very shortcut way to do that in any moment where you're feeling that feeling of like, all those people my age have this business. I could be there, but I was caretaking and now I'm here. And like, we get into the spin, put your hands on the ground, hands on your desk or your feet on the ground. And just reconnect your brain back into your body. Always an option, a very shortcut option that people so easily forget, don't we? Another thought just along this, like, what if you brought in full trust? This is a question for each of you. What if you brought in full trust that you are in the right place at the right time? That there is no could be further. That's not a thing. You're in the right place at the right time, learning the right lessons for right now that paves the path for what's next. What would shift for you in the way of relating to yourself? Terry, I'll have you start.
Yeah, I think that really is truly all there is, that we are exactly in the place we should be. It's only our cultural conditioning and brainwashing since elementary school that says, hey, you got to be here at 7:30 for first grade, leave at 3:00, then same thing through high school and college, and then you got to show up at your job at 8:00, leave at 5:00, you got to try to get fit and be married by this age, buy the house by this age, buy the 4 cars, and all that is just made up crap, just like you said before. Time, it's just, we just made up this thing. Mm-hmm. And so we're just making shit up.
We are.
And so, but I'm brainwashed and I fall for a lot, not everything. Fortunately, my eyes have opened over the last several years, but I think we fall for a lot of crap that's not even true. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'm just rambling, but you got me going. So
I love it. And just notice in that conversation, just as a point of reflection, that you were like, man, this is all made up, like the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it got you to a certain level of engagement, and then you're like, but I'm the schmo essentially that believes it, so back well, on me.
I know I said say that, but I actually don't believe it.
Okay.
I mean, I believe what you say. I don't believe that. I mean, I don't believe most of the stuff that's out there that we're led to believe. So
mm-hmm.
so I'm just not a conspiracy theorist, I'm just a conspirator.
That's funny. Just notice in that we, being responsible people, will quickly spin it, but I'm the one that, and then go back into that victim place. So it's just a quick place to be aware of yourself when you get pulled into it. You didn't say, but I'm aware of it, and I'm taking the action to do the thing from a confident place and continuing to reframe it. And that's where we want to go with our mindset. Any final thoughts for you, Ian, in regards to right place, right time?
I think it's fair. I feel like I am in a better place than I've ever been in my life so far. Not really complaining, which is why I, mark myself as a 2. I'm excited to be moving forward. I just wish I could be moving forward more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a helpful framing of it for sure.
How does it shift the, well, first I just want to say something I just heard you say, but I still wish that I was someplace else. So I believe it's the right place, right mm-hmm. time, but I still wish that I was someplace else. That's mm-hmm. still not accepting right place, right time. So just notice your brain co-opts it so fast, right?
Sure.
And so if you truly believed right place, right time, how would you engage with your staff that are bringing you the first draft of something that you're supposed to check differently?
Maybe I'd just be like less hard on myself about the amount of time it takes me to pick these things up and review them, because I have, you know, I sat down, I prioritized everything that needs to get done, and reviewing that particular document was number 14 on the list. And I got to do the other 13 first, and I wish I could do the lower priority things at the same time as the higher priority things, but obviously laws of physics prohibit that. Just being more, I don't know, zen about it or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. It's accepting that you had a system and a process for when you're going to address it based on your priorities. And you can communicate that. This is, you know, number blah on my list. I'm really excited to dig into it. And it's going to be 3 weeks from now. Thank you so much for this work.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. And just allowing it to be part of your process. What about you, Jeremy? Right place, right time. How does that impact you?
Yeah, just if I'm accepting the premise that I'm in the right place at the right time, making the progress I need to, it reminds me of this fantastic book I read, author Matt Haig, called The Midnight Library.
So good. Yeah.
Yeah. And I, for anybody who's ever dealt with the issues of I should have done this or shouldn't have done that, any kind of, you know, I wish I was in a different place in my life or whatever, like that's, it was really a I have to say, like, a life changing book for me, because it gave me a perspective that I didn't have before. So if I'm thinking in those terms, then it I guess kind of releases the pressure of what I'm supposed to be doing, that I should be somewhere else, or I should be further along. It releases that pressure and the frustration that comes along with that. Mm-hmm. I am doing what I'm supposed to do. And even if it's like, well, if I'm not making enough progress, I'm not meeting regularly with clients, I might lose a client. There's something about that that could end up being a good thing too. So just accepting that, I think mostly just releases the pressure of that.
Love it. Yeah. Jeremy recommended that book to me and I read it and it was so good. Midnight Library, Matt Haig. I think it will impact not only you, but the way that you engage with clients. So thanks for that.
My wife just read it and she highly recommended it as well.
So. Yeah, it's a novel. So it's fun read. Fun read, not a, you know, business read. All right, Christy, get 5 minutes on the floor and I will unpin our friends here.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, here we go. All right. Yep. Go for it.
Okay. So I learned something recently from like three of my favorite leadership people in regards to the anger thing that I think is not only helpful in this conversation, but I know is going to be helpful in conversations with clients as well. And do you listen, Liz, at all to the, it's Simon Sinek, you know, the Start With Why guy. So it's Simon Sinek, Adam Grant, and Brené Brown.
Yeah.
So have you listened to they recently did a conversation with the three of them? Have you heard it already? Okay.
Well, no, go ahead, tell us about it.
Okay, I didn't want to tell you something that you had already, or be repetitive if you had already heard it. So the conversation, you should listen, it's the part one it's a part one of two of the podcast. It's part one. Side note, the first time I've ever heard the three of them talk about financial advisors. So it's interesting. So, and it's negative. Simon had a very negative experience with a financial advisor that he discusses on the podcast. That's not the point of what I was trying to make. The point is around anger. And he tells the story about how he went to a restaurant. He wanted a specific table in the restaurant. The restaurant was empty. It was 11 o'clock in the morning. And he wanted a specific table. And the hostess was like, "You're a two-person party. That's a four-person table. I'm not seating you there." And he's like feeling himself getting angry, right? Like, what's going, you know? And he, you know, tries to negotiate with her. Like, I'll move if someone comes in. Like, can I please have the table? No. And for some people, like, wouldn't bother, roll off their back, go on, continue having a good day. Like, for him, how angry that made him. And you could just sit in that anger and just be like, I'm just angry about this. But the kind of 2.0 lesson of that is that anger is such an amazing indicator of what your core values are. And so many times, so his, in his example, one of his core values is the generosity of the human spirit, and that people are inherently good and people mm-hmm. inherently want to help others. So when people violate that, right, like, it makes him super angry. And I love anger, really love some good anger. And so many times when we're sitting across from clients and saying, you know, if you ask them the question, or what are your core values, or you put out the little cards of like, point to your core values, or give them the list, people can kind of say the high level ones, like my faith and my family and stuff, like pretty much off the top of their, you know, it, but like to get to those true core values of what drives you as a human, like asking a client, like, when's the last time you were really angry about something?
Interesting.
You know, and then as I'm going about the world and I'm getting angry in different situations, like instead of just sitting in that anger, like using it and really like turning it on its head to something positive of like, oh, I'm upset about this because it violates like one of my core values. And then like mm-hmm. really exploring why that core value is important to me and why that value makes me the person that I am, and kind of what the superpower is mm-hmm. of that value. So mm-hmm. like if you're thinking, so anyways, I thought it was, you know, in my 41 years on this planet, like when I learn these little new nuggets and I have my little Evernote that I keep them down on and that I keep coming back to it, and it's something recent and I've been using it with clients and I find it super helpful. And just talking in this conversation about anger, if someone hasn't thought of that tool of like thinking how anger is really like your superpower, as like it's the spotlight on what mm-hmm. your core values are, that could help.
Yeah, I love that. What I hear in that, and I'll just add my own little spin on it, is with the anger highlighting values, that's a core part of our decision-making process. Also recognizing you might have to jump here, Christy, you don't have to be polite. You can just jump if you need to. But there's this, like, to me, anger, sadness, like the emotional component, some theories, thoughts say, just like, set it aside as to move through. And yes, that's very effective. For me, I found in my, so I found that when I accept them as okay emotions, and that kind of what I was saying to Sam of like, there's gems in here, there's a bunch of dirt, there's a bunch of mud, there's some rocks, it doesn't feel good, but there's some gems in here. Then I think that emotions are an act of creation, especially the negative emotions. So I don't know how many of you feel like you're a creative person or not. I consider myself a very creative person. And I noticed that when I hit what I consider to be negative emotions, it's always shining a light on something that I want. And so I instead of using the word angry or irritated or putting like a negative spin on it, I call it contrast. So these are contrasting experiences that we have with our family, with our friends, with our teammates, with our subordinates, with our boss. They're all just shining a light in the moment, an emotional reaction that really, if we push past it, like move through it, we will see the thing that we want even more clearly. So I love that reframe of how anger can be a indicator for our core values. And I'll just add to that, like an act of creation. Cool. All right. So we're at 1:02. We've got another delicious 30 minutes, 28 minutes. And I'm curious, where would you like to take this conversation? Anyone can step in.
I guess nobody else is going to jump in to keep the focus on me. Just dealing with overwhelm is kind of how what I'm struggling with personally. So mm-hmm. as we talked about a minute ago.
Yeah. Really struggling with overwhelm. Me too. This past week was particularly rough. My story of everyone's angry at me came out real strong. What else? Sam, even taking that one step further, what is the core value being violated? And you can, that's just a generosity. Suggestion.
Generosity.
Generosity.
Yeah, I'm I like to joke that I'm very proud of how humble I am. So, but I am a very generous person. And so when I feel like I'm being manipulated or put down or run up against extreme selfishness, it infuriates me.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's because of generosity.
Yeah.
So really glad Christy spoke up about that, because yes, I find myself low-key angry quite often and then get triggered, and I realize that's what it is.
Mm, beautiful. That's
very helpful.
Beautiful, yep. Beautiful. Yep. Marianne, I see that you are uncomfortable with where the place is that we are. And what do you need in this moment?
I just was going for a little happy up time. Because how fortunate are we, right, to be mm-hmm. in the business that we're in? So that's just me. I don't like going to the negative side too much, because
sure.
it's not productive for me. So I'm waiting for, you know, we've done an hour of the hard stuff. So I'm just wondering if you're going to take this in a different direction for the wrap.
I don't have a direction. I let you guys lead. So if that's what you'd like. How do you shift out of those feelings of discomfort where things are not going well and get into that happy place?
Get out, get moving, get the music playing, bring up mm-hmm. my energy so that I'm not letting my mind suck into the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so easy to focus on all of the things that you struggle with. One of the things that I'm struggling with in my business right now is I don't have enough people coming through my doors, but that's okay, because I like looking at the shiny side, that just frees up my time to craft a better business.
Mm.
So I'm actually very grateful to my time.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get there. It's going to get mm-hmm. there. It's going to get where I want to go. You know, it just doesn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's interesting, what you just shared is that you've pulled a learning from the discomfort or a shift in your story. So it doesn't feel good to have people not coming in, and you see the place that it's creating space for you. That is the process that we are going through on these calls, where you do have to look directly at the discomfort, the thing that doesn't feel good. Maybe it makes you angry or sad or whatever. And as soon as you can pull learnings from it, you are able to set aside that anger. I'd be curious if Sam would come back on for just a moment. If you could have ranked where you were 1 to 10 with feeling down versus feeling great, where were you at the start of the call and where are you now?
Oh, much better. Much better. Yeah, I totally agree with Marianne, getting physical, getting out of your own head.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't come on today to be coached. I was just answering the question, right? And I appreciate the fact being able to talk it through. What's helpful about these calls is everybody who's spoken today, we've triggered, wrong word, we've helped take the conversation in various different ways that I hope, yeah. you know, maybe each of us comes away with a little bit of a nugget. I certainly have.
Yeah. Yeah. So thanks for reminding us of that, Marianne.
I'd like to add to that, actually, because I started the call. I didn't even want to be on the camera because I was just feeling like terrible, right? So, okay, fine, I'll do it. And I certainly wasn't planning on being coached either for the same reason, just hide in the background and, you know, deal with what I'm dealing with. But that reminds me, gratitude is one of those things, at least for me, but I imagine other people that gets you off of that negative cycle. And specifically reminds me of a couple things. One, we're, you know, talking about the VA stuff earlier. When I contracted with them, you know, paying what I was paying, I was still paying the firm that I was leaving. And so it was like I was double paying for something that wasn't happening. It was really irritating me for quite some time. And I read something about gratitude or, gosh, I don't know. It could have been our conversation prior. I don't remember, but something I said, okay, fine, I'll play. How do I flip this situation around and find gratitude in it that I'm double paying for something, thousands of dollars, right? And I thought and I thought and I thought, and in it, I realized that I'm like, well, wait a minute. I'm grateful I have the money to do it. Like, I'm not stressed about paying the bills. I mean, sure, I'm using money to do it. That could be used for something else, but I have it. I have that money. And that like totally shifted it around. I was like, wait a minute, how did I do that? Like that was pretty amazing. With my son, he had a heart surgery about a year and a half ago. And he restarted baseball once he was cleared for activity. And he was frankly terrible. I mean, it was like embarrassing, right? We're like, oh no, what did we do? And, you know, we had a number of talks and I told him, I said, hey, you know, you're behind, but here's your opportunity to show everybody what you're made of. You know, you can be grateful that you can play baseball and all this stuff. And he worked so hard and he improved so much that it's like, it's shocking how much he improved. The whole team noticed how much he improved. He had the biggest hit of the season. Like, I could go on, right?
That's amazing.
The point is, you know, shifting that perspective of something, a situation that is terrible, feels terrible, whatever, and trying to find the gratitude. Mm-hmm. So if I'm frustrated of the progress that I feel like I haven't made, I mean, I can, in a really simple sense, I can be grateful that I'm able to have this business, be this advisor and help people. You know, so what if I'm not further along than I think I am? I can be grateful. I'm just simply able to do this. So that actually really hit home what Marianne just said. So
awesome.
Putting the positive on it.
Mm-hmm. Rashani, I see the question. So what do you do once you know what value is being violated? How does that help us? What do you think, or what do you hear in that? Like, what conclusions have you started to come through?
Well, so I, you know, so for example, last week I had a bunch of client meetings, and one of my clients rescheduled the meeting again. This is the fourth time she's rescheduling, and she always does it the night before or 2 hours before. Mm-hmm. She's one of my biggest clients, so. Anyway, I don't want to say anything, you know, to her. Like, I know we're supposed to say, oh, you know, I know we're supposed to, you know, have boundaries and stuff. But at the same time, it's like, you know, you never know what is going on in other people's lives. And I want to be nice to her because she is so sweet and just such a nice person. When I meet her, I'm like, my God, she is such an amazing person. And she is. But she just has this tendency of rescheduling endlessly. I have no idea why. Anyways, so I was just so annoyed that she keeps doing this. And then another client was a no-show. And again, this is a pattern with him. He just loves to not show up for meetings because he says he's super busy, but I know he's not. He just has his own way of doing things, you know? Mm-hmm. I was so angry, and I know exactly why, because And I had seen this on LinkedIn, and you know, it was really interesting what they said about you get angry because your values are being violated, and it is exactly that. Like, my values of, you know, just respecting my time is being violated. But then, you know, and then, but then my thing is, like, even when I saw that, I was like, what is the
okay, so I already know what the value is that's being violated, but what do I do with that? Like, what? I guess you can say that gives me more clarity about who I am and what's mm-hmm. important to me. But I already knew that. Like, I don't know.
So you're looking for the additional layer. Yeah, I mean, that's layer one. There's always lots of layers within mindset that you can dig up. One is that you've attached meaning to their rescheduling and no-show.
Yeah.
And what is that meaning that you've attached to it?
Mm-hmm. It's, it's that they don't value my time. Yeah.
Okay. So you've made an assumption in that. And that assumption is based on you and your world and the way that you approach life. Mm-hmm. It is not an assumption, or it is not necessarily the intention that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do lots of things. Like, I think probably from a practice management perspective, you could put in like a rule or a term of engagement that says you cannot cancel too many of these times. You've hit my boundary and we're no longer working together. That's one way mm-hmm. as to hold that core value. To me, I hear that as an effort, like a layer of defense. And so in the mindset perspective, I would look at more of the meaning that you've attached to it
mm-hmm.
and perhaps shifting to something else. Like, can it mean anything else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you were to imagine other meanings that could be there, what might they be?
No, I think they are just overwhelmed, you know, and they're avoiding okay. the overwhelm in some way. And everybody does this to some extent. It's like, even if they have time, they're not emotionally ready to have those conversations. I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. A lot of times. So I kind of see that, but it's still like, gosh, I'm just adding to my stress, you know?
What's the stress about?
Stress is just all these, you know, the meetings for some reason, everybody wants to meet the same week. And then just doing all the meetings and then everything else that's going on that I have to do, you know, I have to like get back to my employees at a certain time because I have to maintain a certain level of discipline in the firm. So all these things I have to do, like by this date, I have to do this, by this date, I have to do this. And then on top of that, when they reschedule, you know, I have to redo the documents again. And then that adds another level of stress.
If I can just be a mirror on this one, mm-hmm. you assume that the documents have to be redone because you assume that they require that. Or maybe you assume that you need to for your purposes. And maybe that as an advisor, you want to do that. That's fine. You mm-hmm. could also, from that perspective, go back to the client, say, happy to reschedule. I'm going to use the information that we have from this first meeting, so it might be out of date by the next time that we meet. Done. I also hear that you said everybody wants to meet in the same week.
Mm-hmm.
So what?
Mm-hmm.
What action can you take? That keeps it, there's almost like a weight of expectation that I'm sensing in all of this. Like, there's just these expectations that keep coming in and they're sitting on me and they're really heavy and they don't feel good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so what do you mean? So what? Again,
people may or may not have the expectations. It's an assumption perhaps that you're meeting. I can call the dentist and say, I want to get in this week. So what?
Yeah.
Sorry, we book out 3 weeks or whatever. I can go to someone and ask to schedule. And as soon as they make an assumption, or if they give me a statement, I will pivot my request. Mm-hmm. Oh, can't do that. Yeah, that's fine. I'll do here. There's a way of relating to them where I'm hearing you feel bound.
Yeah. You know, it is that. What happens is it's like sometimes the meetings have already been scheduled like 3-4 weeks in advance. And then, you know, if somebody reschedules the same week, but but also 2 weeks in advance, you know? So I'm thinking, okay, there's two meetings. And then a prospect schedules, right, that week. And then, of course, you know, with prospects, I do want to talk to them. I don't want to say, oh, I can't talk right now, you know, because there is. Yeah. So I had two prospect calls, you know, like first call and second call. So, okay, that's done. And then this other client who's so difficult to get a hold of all the time, you know, he suddenly wanted to talk. So I was like, okay, I have to talk to him because I haven't talked to him for 6 months now, you know, and then he's the one who did a no show. So, you know, it's like, yeah, you're right. It's like, yes, it's not, I am setting certain expectations, but but people are so difficult to pin down sometimes that it's almost when they're available. You know, it's good to get a conversation. It's good to meet them. Otherwise, who knows, like, when they'll be available again. You know, like, there are just some clients like that who don't do things, who don't just fall in line, you know, so to speak. I don't know if that's the right way to say that. But, you know, who don't like instruction, they have their own way of doing things, and they want to meet whenever they want to meet. And yes, I could tell them, okay, I'm not available right now, you know, let's meet next week. I could do that. Anyway, so.
If you were coming from a place of partnership with them, that meant both of you could get win-wins, what is the conversation you would have?
I would say, please don't keep rescheduling, number one. Number two, if you really cannot show up, just reschedule instead of doing a no-show like this. Yeah,
can I reflect back? I just heard you tell them what to do, but from a place of partnership where it's a conversation, how do you create the win-win? What's the question that you ask, or what's the conversation that you have?
Yeah. Yeah. What is the best time for you to meet that you don't have to reschedule? Like, you know that this will, you know that you'll be able to meet for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also hear, you know, people are fairly unaware of the habits that they have. And so you could start with, have you noticed that you keep rescheduling with me? And then they say the thing that they say, like, oh yeah, I'm so sorry, all the things came up and blah, blah, blah. Oh, and then from your side, well, this is what happens for me. I have all this stuff that happened, like, that I put in place, ready to have the conversation, excited for the conversation. And then the wind gets out of my sails because I'm like, oh, man, I really want to see you today. How can we navigate this thing that inevitably happens? What do you need so that we can hold our appointments? Do you hear kind of the difference in?
Can you repeat that? Sorry, I spaced out a little bit. Can you repeat that? What you just said? Yeah.
I don't know which part, and I made it all up. And
you said, I don't listen. Have you noticed that we keep rescheduling? And then after that, you said something else.
Yeah. Okay. So have you noticed that you keep rescheduling? They may or may not know the pattern that they create. And then share from your side. This is uncomfortable for me. I am so excited to meet with you. I do all the prepping 4 weeks in advance. And then there's a quick no-show or a reschedule. And then, so I come to our next conversation, ready and excited, redoing all my homework, and then reschedule. It's difficult for me to stay in relationship. I really want to help you. And yet this thing happens, and I don't know how to support you in the way that you need to be supported so that you feel comfortable sticking with our scheduled time.
Yeah. You know, if I was hearing that, honestly, I would feel a little like, you know, like we're breaking up kind of a conversation. That's how I would take it. Like,
how come?
Because it's just telling me, like, you failed me. Like, you know, you're, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
If I heard that as a client, if I was a client and my advisor told me that, I would feel like, oh, they're really unhappy with me. Yeah.
So you're concerned that you're going to disappoint her. So you are putting on yourself the holding of all of the disappointment of the relationship. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you felt it that way. I also said, how can I support you so this works really well for you so that you show up ready for our appointments and like engaged? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So find the way that feels good for you. My intention was not to state like, you're a bad person. You shouldn't be doing this. It's actually from a place of support. Like, I noticed this pattern. Have you noticed it? Mm-hmm. How can I help you with this pattern so that we can stay in conversation with each other?
Yeah, I like the way you framed it. Have you noticed that? Because maybe she hasn't, you know, maybe she just does it thinking like, yeah. And then I liked you know, what you said, like I do all this because that's exactly what it is. Because and I don't think she even realizes that she's thinking that I just read the, you know, like, cause she's a physician and how physicians like, you know, they start reading notes once you already check in. So I think that's what she's probably thinking. I started reading notes and preparing once she comes to the or something. So so I should tell her that. I think the part that was like a little, I think I would be disappointed if I was a client is when you said, what can I do so that we can keep moving forward or we can have a good relationship? That made me think like we're at the brink of breaking up, maybe like I might find a client. So maybe I will reframe that part a little bit.
Yeah. Great.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm curious for each of you, like, what are you getting from our conversation today? I love when people say, I came to the office hours not planning to be coached because for whatever reason, not many people come planning to be coached in my office hours. I think by the nature of how open it becomes. And you set the intention, you came. You probably have some place that you do feel a little bit stuck. And I have a hunch that through Sam's share, Jeremy's share, Terry, Christy, Ian, Rashani, I'm probably missing someone, Marianne. You probably got something that supported you in getting unstuck. And what was that thing? Put it in the chat. Love it. So we allow fear to influence us far too often in too many places. Yep. Concept of taking you for, thank you for difficult circumstances. I'm at the right place right now. So awesome. And I want to interact with clients or loved ones that need to bring up something that happens. It's hard and challenging for me. I want to just, there's a place that I noticed I reacted to, and I just want to put it on the table for conversation. I think when Marianne was calling us to happy place and gratitude, there was a way I was relating to it as like overriding the emotion. And I think that is the danger that we have. And I don't, upon further reflection, I don't think that's what she was saying. So I just want to put that on the table where, you know, there is the place of toxic positivity where it's like, oh yeah, everything's fine. Nothing's, I'm riding over everything. Don't have to deal with any of the problems. I'll just, you know, keep going. And I don't think that's what she was saying. I think this place of gratitude, which is really the highest vibration anybody can have, the highest experience you can have in any moment of life, is drawing forth those learnings. And sometimes to capture those learnings, you have to sit with the discomfort for just a little bit longer than you are thinking. So that was my learning for today. Just how quickly I can jump to a conclusion in that. Yeah, we're all in the right place at the right time. And the moment that you can accept that, acceptance helps you shift into something new. So with that holding pattern, just tying it back to the conversation about the branch that was falling. It's okay to be in a holding pattern. It doesn't feel good, but ultimately I can trust that that time span and all of the implications that I didn't even share on here, the family relationships and dynamics, I can trust that there's other things happening beyond me and that I was having the right experience with that. That all of that buildup of anxiety really is proving something else to me if I'm willing to look for it. So. All right. Any final thoughts from anyone? Anyone want to close us out with a zinger? No, no zingers. All right. I'm going to take one of the things from my desk. When you think at that moment that it is possible, so when you think at that moment that it is possible, then the magic starts to possibility and all that you're going to create this year. Have a great month. See you next month.